Negative Land is an experimental music and art collective from Berkeley, California. The group uses audio samples from radio, TV, and even cell phone calls to create collage compositions that serve as critiques of various aspects of modern life. In 1984, Negative Land coined the term culture jamming to describe their unique form of media activism. One of the group's targets is advertising. On their 1997 album, Dis Pepsi, Negative Land attacked the advertising efforts of Pepsi Cola. From the Dis Pepsi album, here's Negative Land with Drink It Up.
When 7-Up has got me down, when high C gets me low, my Labatt's blue ain't blue, it's brown. My Nestle's quick just makes me slow. When my sparkling cider's lost its shine, my can of sharps is dull. Hawaiian punch has knocked me cold, a feeling hits my skull.
And my mind just turns to Pepsi, and I couldn't tell you why. Smart drinks lead me to forget, and Coke won't get me high. When constant comment won't shut up, I'll sit right down.
Kalle Lassen is another culture jammer, part of the global network of media activists who are trying to launch a new social activism. Culture jammers are fighting back against the omnipresence of advertising in our consumer culture and the negative impact they feel that it's having on our lives. One of the major weapons in Kalle Lassen's culture jamming arsenal is his magazine, Adbusters. Adbusters features subvertising, parody ads that attack the advertising industry. For example, there's a series of ads that spoof the ads for Camel cigarettes, which featured a character called Joe Camel. In the Adbuster versions, Joe Camel is known as Joe Chemo. One ad shows Joe Chemo walking down a hospital corridor, wheeling his IV unit along with him. In another, Joe Chemo lies in an open coffin. Kalle Lassen has also written a book about his philosophy. It's called Culture Jam, The Uncooling of America. He told Steve Paulson about a moment of truth that led to his career as a culture jammer.
I'd been going to this supermarket for a long, long time, and bit by bit they just started feeling oppressive there. And one day they had suddenly instituted this system where for me to get my cart, I had to put a coin into the cart and somehow disengage it from the line of carts. And then on the way out again, to get my quarter back, I had to play this little game that their efficiency experts were forcing down on me. And I remember just suddenly there was this kind of a rage that was starting to build in my gut, and I just decided to jam that coin right into the coin slot so nobody could use that cart anymore. I just remember doing that in a bit of a fit, and then just walking away and feeling suddenly quite liberated and quite wonderful about what I'd just done, which was probably illegal. But it was a liberating kind of a moment when I just realized that you don't have to swallow your rage, that I don't want to be the sort of guy who runs around all the time with a low-level rage inside me that I can't get out. And I decided that from then on, I would, whenever I can, I would liberate myself.
It sounds like you're saying that sometimes people need to get angry. They need to snap and see where it goes.
Well, yeah, I think that we are living in really strange times, and many of us can't quite figure out what's going on. The way I see it, I think that there's a really big power grab going on right now, and that corporations are somehow taking over the food we eat, and they even go as far as giving us genetically engineered food and even refusing to label it. And they're also, of course, forcing a whole nutritional agenda on us all the time. We also live at a time when the mass media has largely been taken over by corporations. Half a dozen of them now control the really big ones like Disney and AOL, Time Warner, and three or four others, they now control over 50% of all the information and entertainment flows on the whole planet. And back in Seattle a year ago, I mean, they were trying to write the world trade rules. And I think in Seattle and since then, a lot of people have suddenly got fed up with this arrogance of corporations, and they see this big power grab for what it really is, a way of imposing a kind of a corporate plan on the whole planet. And a lot of people are giving vent now to this this rage that they feel within them.
On the dedication page of your book, you refer to Philip Morris Inc. as your mortal enemy.
Yes.
And you vow to take down this corporation. Yes. Were you serious about that?
Absolutely serious. Absolutely serious. I started smoking when I was in university in my late teens, and part of the reason that I did that was because of Philip Morris and their cowboy campaigns and the fact that I thought it was such a cool thing to do. And then it took me 30 years to kick the habit. And I have never quite forgiven Philip Morris for the role that they played in that 30 years of my life.
But, you know, everyone now knows that smoking is dangerous, know that smoking mm-hmm. causes cancer. Can you really blame a cigarette company anymore for that?
Well, no. I don't think it's a question of blaming the cigarette company for the fact that they sell cigarettes. I'm blaming Philip Morris for the way that they spent billions of dollars promoting this killer product of theirs. I think that they have a right to sell a product, a legal product like a cigarette, but I don't forgive them for the way that they recruited generation after generation of young people into this, what often turns out to be a lifetime of smoking.
Now, one trend that we've been seeing in recent years is that a lot of advertisers are creating ads that make fun of the fact that that these are ads. And I'm wondering if that's making your job harder.
Lately, there's been this trend to come up with ironic ads, you know, postmodern ads, ads that blithely, you know, make fun of themselves. And this is a technique they've discovered that works very well with young people, and they've been using it successfully. In fact, they have co-opted many of the culture jamming techniques into their own advertising. We're moving on. We're looking for the next round in this this war of nerves. In some way, I actually enjoy the game.
But doesn't this just reflect what everyone knows, and that's that the advertising that we see on TV is trying to sell us something?
Yeah, of course we all know that. But I think that that one thing that is really coming to the fore now, there is a realization that, especially among young people, that ever since they were a little baby, you know, crawling around the TV set, that they have somehow been propagandized and that well-documented 3,000 marketing messages a day are seeping into their brain, and that somehow this has diminished them. And of course, we know that that psychological propaganda like that or psychological violation isn't quite the same as physical violation, but nonetheless, a lot of people feel that they are carrying psychological scars, and that it is this propaganda machine, the 3,000 marketing messages a day, that's doing it to them. And I predict that there's going to be, over the next 5-10 years, the rise of a mental environmental movement that will be every much as powerful and potent as the physical environmental movement was, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
What would this mental environmental movement consist of? What would people do?
I think that they would, to put it bluntly, they would clean up the toxic areas of the mental environment. They would wake up to the fact that this is making them sick, and that they would just start taking back the mental commons.
What does that mean in practical terms?
Well, in practical terms, it means fighting for your right to get on television and have a free marketplace of ideas on television. It will also, I think, turn out to be very much a battle for cyberspace. Will the corporations be able to do the same thing to cyberspace as they did to television? It will be the formation of groups of media activists like Indie Media, who have their own websites and their own philosophies and their you know, on a daily basis trying to take back control of the mental environment. And I think that underlying this mental environmental movement will be this realization by more and more people that media clutter, the kind of commercially saturated, violence saturated, sexually saturated mental environment, that this is actually making us sick. And when people make that personal connection in their own personal lives, then I think finally this 50-year run that advertising has had will be over.
Khalil Hassan is the author of Culture Jam, The Uncooling of America. He spoke to Steve Paulson. If you'd like to get involved in culture jamming, you can join Khalil Hassan's social marketing campaigns, Buy Nothing Day and TV Turnoff Week.